2 minutes. Maybe now is the perfect time to make the switch and start saving. Here you go. Call 866-88-BIBLE. That's 866-88-BIBLE. 866-88-BIBLE.
The views expressed on the Buckmaster radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you. My buddy John Couch, engineering and producing the show. It's midweek edition already. It's Wednesday, June the 10th, 2020. We are in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio on 1030 Tucson's Voice for trusted news talk. Anywhere in the world, live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com, where we piggyback the feed from kvoi.com. The Pima County Environmental Quality just issued a high pollution advisory for Pima County. The smoke up in my neck of the woods, lower foothills region, yesterday was just really bad. It comes through the air conditioning system. You can smell that wood smoke. And I really wish I hadn't walked up the hill at about 7 o'clock last night. I don't think I'll be making that same mistake tonight. It's just really not good to be out and about, especially if you're doing any outdoor exercise. Let's welcome now on the live line, Dr. George Hammond, Director of Economic and Business Research Center in the Eller College of Management at the University of Arizona. Dr. Hammond, how are you?
I'm good, Bill. How are you?
Doing real well. These latest numbers from the Department of Economic Security showing about 23,000 people filing first-time jobless benefits in the past week. That's up about 1,000 or so than I think the previous week. But it's certainly an improvement, of course, from the stay-at-home order days. But still, we are not out of the woods, are we?
No, we're not. And, you know, what I think we're seeing is the impacts of continued social distancing and, you know, restrictions on some of the activities that we used to engage in at restaurants and bars that are continuing to impact economic activity. So, I think there are some industries that are going to continue to generate job losses while, you know, as we move forward, assuming the outbreak is under control, we'll see other sectors start to create jobs and restore jobs that were lost or furloughed. And, I think Arizona has a decent chance to see, you know, either minimal job losses in May or even some job growth as the nation did.
Well, there are still people that are really, really freaked out. I understand that some people haven't even left their home, Dr. Hammond, in 3 months. And then these latest numbers, we have had a surge here in Arizona. That's going to make folks more cautious about going to businesses. I've had business owners say to me in just the last 48 hours, they're wondering about, is the governor going to reinstate coronavirus orders? And I posted on Facebook about a few minutes ago on the Bill Buckmaster Facebook page, I said, the chance of Governor Ducey reinstating coronavirus orders is zero. If you think that a Republican governor who has aspirations possibly to run for president is going to be the first governor in the United States to reimpose sanctions, that's not going to happen. But still, it's out there that people are worried and being cautious, I think, about returning to businesses. Your thoughts?
Yeah, you know, I think the one thing to keep in mind amidst all the uncertainty about how the next weeks and months are going to play out is that the outbreak is going to have a big impact on the economy and the recovery, and people's perceptions of their own safety and the safety of others is going to be part of that. So, you know, if people, you know, don't feel safe going back into retail environments, back to restaurants and bars, back to movie theaters, back to the gym, and then that's going to mean that we're going to see a slower and longer recovery than if people are convinced that the environments they're going back into are safe. And there's another side to that coin, which is about employees feeling safe going back to work and feeling comfortable in you know, retail and the travel and tourism environments that they worked in previously. And, you know, part of that is going to be employers making their workers feel safe, taking the precautions that will contribute to them feeling safe enough to come back to work.
Pretty hard for you, isn't it, right now, to make a forecast for the next 12 months as the fiscal year starts to close out? What's your best shot at that?
Well, there's just a huge amount of uncertainty about how all this is going to play out. So, you know, what I tell people is to keep in mind that the error bands around any forecast, including mine, but everyone else's too, is really huge at this point. So there's a lot of uncertainty, and we need to keep that in mind. But, you know, I think the odds are that we're going to, start growing again once we get into the late second and third, into the third quarters later in the summer. And, we'll be back to where we were pre-outbreak sometime, late 2021, early 2022. So assuming the outbreak is under control, I think we're going to kind of see a solid, steady recovery, and we'll eventually get back to where we were, in a year or a little more.
I agree with that, Dr. Hammond, and I think so much will depend on the various vaccine efforts that are underway. They are moving very quickly. The Oxford University program, they're saying their first doses are going to be available in September. Even Dr. Fauci has said that he's hoping for widespread distribution of the vaccine early in 2021. And I think there might, in fact, I know there are people, Dr. Hammond, that are going to be very cautious about what they do until they actually take that shot.
Absolutely. And, one of the things you want to keep in mind is that while the deaths from COVID-19 are very concentrated on the elderly, the hospitalizations related to COVID-19 are a bit more evenly spread across the population. So we all face some risk here, but there, as we learn more about the virus and how it's spread, that will help, because it will allow us to judge where the risky places are, and it will allow us to take the precautions that we can, and it will allow us to go back and enjoy the way we used to, the places that are a bit less risky. So, as we learn more about the virus and how it spread, that will really help us judge the risks and protect ourselves.
What are your thoughts on stay-at-home work, the work environment? How is that going to change the traditional going to an office? What are your thoughts on that?
I can tell you that when I am working at home, it takes, 10, 15 seconds for a file to save over the VPN, and I can tell you I hate that. So I'm looking forward to get back to work with a fast VPN. So I think there will be impacts. We will see more people working at home once the outbreak is over than we had before. But I still think there are going to be large numbers of people who want to be in the work environment for that reason and for other reasons. So there will be some changes that I think are enduring, but the way we worked previously evolved for some pretty good reasons, and those reasons will still be there.
All right, let's see if we can squeeze Adriana's comment in. Adriana, only have about a minute. Go ahead, please.
Yes. So I agree that the businesses should be up and open. If they're following all the guidelines, they should be open up for business. It's up to the consumer to decide whether they feel safe enough to go out, whether they feel comfortable going into a specific place. But I don't believe that businesses should be shut down, mandatory shutdown, because of the whole situation. So I would encourage the governor not to close us down, but to let every business follow the CDC guidelines and let the consumer decide whether they want to go into that business or not.
Yeah, I think a lot of people feel that way. Adriana, thank you very much. So as we wrap this up with you, Dr. Hammond, you're kind of in a situation like all of us, sort of, we'll see how it's all going to play out. Is that safe to say?
Yeah, and what's one of the responses from economists now is that we're updating our forecasts much more rapidly than we were before things began to change so significantly. So, we track a large number of weekly indicators that give us a feel for how consumers and individuals and workers are responding to social distancing, and people can see what we're following at azeconomy.org. That's azeconomy, all one word, .org. And they can track the same data that we're using to track how people are responding as we move forward.
All right. We'll check in with you in the coming weeks. Thank you, Dr. Hammond.
Thank you, Bill.
It's the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio right at exactly right now, 12:15 on the Buckmaster Show. We'll be back right after this.
Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at veroamorepizza.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson. Tucson International Airport.
The Regional Transportation Authority and its member jurisdictions have completed more than 850 transportation projects or service improvements across the region to date. The RTA is a state-established political subdivision and taxing district. The RTA's current half-cent sales tax funds the 20-year plan through June 2026. And the RTA is laying the foundation to develop a new plan. To learn more, please visit www.rtanext.com.
It's easy being green. Promote wind, install solar, drive electric cars, ban mining. Wait a minute! You can't ban mining! Green is good, but hey, no can do without the metals green products need from mining. If you ban mining, you'll ban everything green. And today's minds are on board, researching technologies that provide critical materials for a greener world. Being green, another miracle from mining. Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, and without further ado, we go back on the live line with Father Robert Hendrickson, the rector at St. Philip's in the Hills Episcopal Church. He is the Buckmaster Show contributor on faith and spirituality. Father Robert, how are you hanging in there these days?
Oh, not too badly. How about you?
I'm trying. We're gradually reintroducing guests to the studio. That's good because, like you, Father Robert, I'm a people person, and I know it's been a real challenge for you doing these online services, and I'm very curious, being one of the parishioners of St. Philip's in the Hills, we were polled, did a little online poll, and we were wondering, and I know you were asking, how do we move forward? And I wondered, what are the results of that poll, Father Robert?
Well, I mean, the first basic thing is that we are waiting for 14 days of consecutive declining cases in Pima County before we resume in-person worship. So obviously, with the latest news, we've got a little time to wait. But the poll came back saying basically 66% of people, when given the choice between doing online services or in-person services, 66% preferred or said that they would definitely or probably do online services as opposed to in-person. Only 23% said that they would prefer in-person services. So that gives you a sense of, I think, where the congregation is. And it's basically where I am, too. I think until we have a sense of how the church can be a good neighbor, really, that's really what we're trying to do, is make sure that we're not a vector for this to spread into the wider community. So I think we are sitting pretty comfortably where we are. The congregation doesn't seem like they're in a huge rush just to get back together in person, although that's everyone's sort of greatest desire. But at the same time, we want to ensure that we are not part of the problem as opposed to part of the solution.
I don't know, and perhaps you saw in the New York Times today, Father Robert, under the headline, "Will It Be Safe to Sing Together Again Soon?" By Alex Marshall. Mr. Marshall writes, in the space of a few months, group singing has gone from being something affirming to a potential source of disease, even death. Outbreaks of coronavirus have been linked with choir rehearsals and church services in Europe and the United States and South Korea. Of course, one of the hallmarks of St. Philip's in the Hills is one of the most outstanding choirs in the region. This is tough on parishioners who miss the good old days.
Yes, in fact, at the very beginning of this, when the conversation about choirs came up, I wrote that it sort of boggled my mind to think about how to do church without music, because I came into the Episcopal Church through churches with outstanding music programs, and I'm at a church that has one. And I think part of what we have to sit down and do is say, well, how do we balance the two sort of twin commandments, sort of love God and love your neighbor? Sort of part of the way we love God is to sing. And as St. Augustine famously said, he who sings prays twice. And so that's a core element of how we love God and how we show that love. And then we have to figure out, how do we love our neighbor? Well, loving our neighbor right now has to mean that we are not part of getting them sick. And so it's a really tough bind to be in. But I think what it takes us back to is, what does it mean to be the church, right? And I think that those first fundamental principles about being the church are that we gather, that we love one another, that we care for our neighbor. And then we build on that and figure out, well, what can we do given the realities of the time we're living in? And I think that's probably the best that all of us can do. We sort of look at the realities of where we are, and then we figure out within those realities, how do we do the things we're called to do, whether that's as a church or in our personal lives.
How about outreach? There are so many lonely people through this pandemic. Some people have not been out of their house and interacted with another human being since mid-March. So what about the outreach?
Yeah, it's crucial. So we are maintaining our feeding programs and doing that with appropriate distance and things like this. So on certain days of the week, we hand out food to folks who come to our food bank. We are buying and delivering groceries to folks who can't get out of the house. We're in terms of parish life, we're making phone calls within the parish to try and make sure that folks who are isolated or alone have someone to check in with them and check in on them. And then this is where our online presence has become pretty crucial. So we have daily services online twice a day. We have Bible studies. We have classes online. We're resuming some Wednesday evening classes that we've had in the past, all online, trying to make sure that in this time of social distance, that social distance doesn't become emotional distance from one another and spiritual distance from God.
You know, I'm one of these people, I like to look ahead, kind of like I'm a big picture person, Father Robert, and I'm looking ahead and how this is all going to play out and how it's going to change the church and religious and worship entirely. I think things are really, a lot of people are going to hold off till they feel comfortable and they've actually taken an inoculation for, the Lord willing, a vaccine coming online, I hope pretty darn soon, maybe by the end of the year. What are your thoughts on where are we going? What is the big picture going to look like?
Well, here's what I think is part of the big picture. I think part of what people are recognizing now is how much they take church and other faith communities for granted. And what I mean by that is we forget just how crucial to our identity, our sense of connection to one another and to God, our faith communities are until we suddenly don't have them in some way or another. And so part of what I think is happening, actually, as I talk to people, is that they're recommitting in some way or another to their faith and to going deeper. And I think that this is giving us a time to figure out, well, what is it that we care most deeply about when so many of the distractions of our life are cleared away by the force of the pandemic and distance? What do we really care about? What do we really love? And I think that if our church communities regather slowly over time with a renewed sense of how important our communities are to us, how important our relationship to God is, how important the things we care about are to who we actually are, then I think we'll come back stronger than ever. But I think if we treat this as just, you know, one unfortunate, you know, it's sort of like we can't go to the store and we can't go to the movies and we can't go to church. If we view church or our faith community as kind of one more thing it would be nice to do, then I think we would be weaker for this experience. But I think if we come away thinking, boy, that is crucial to who I am and to what I believe, I think this could be a time of real strengthening for us.
The human being wants control. We want things to be controlled. We want to feel we're safe. We want to feel we're in control of our destiny. But in the end, Father Robert, it is out of our control, sir.
Absolutely. Well, and the thing is, we as humans are addicted to security, and we as Christians follow a God who is preaching insecurity. There's nothing secure about the crucifixion.
That's right.
Ultimately, I mean, Jesus on the cross, you know, Jesus before he goes to the cross says, you know, take this cup from me. He's not in control of the moment, the way it unfolds is a profound demonstration that we're not in control, but that God's will for us is always loving good. Right, so that what comes after the crucifixion is not just a blank slate, but it's the resurrection. And so there's always this trust that we have to have that even when we're not in control, and especially when we are not in control, because we never are, really, that God is the one who owns and stewards our life, has the best in mind and in heart for us. And that's very, very hard for us to believe. And I think part of it has to do with a very kind of American conflation of happiness and joy. Sort of we expect to be happy all the time, when what God is really calling us is to find that deep-seated sense of joy, what brings us a sense of purpose and identity and focus. And we often get distracted by happiness and lose track of what brings us real joy and real meaning.
What about living in the moment? I know you've studied Buddhism, and in Zen Buddhism, of course, living in the moment is everything. A moment ago is now the past. We're not into the future. We're living in the present. Is Christianity a religion that lives in the moment?
Well, I think it's hard to live in the moment when you're constantly listening to the voices of 2,000 years of tradition, and also trying to anticipate how to be the best ancestor you can be. Sort of, you know, and so there's an interesting tension between, yes, living in the moment and being present, but also being aware that we are stewards of mysteries that we have inherited from generations before us. And we have a profound responsibility for the church and the world and the community we leave to those who come after us. So there's an interesting tension, I think, all the time between being citizens of the past and listening to the voices of our ancestors, being present to the moment, being citizens of the communities we're in, but also recognizing that our primary citizenship is really one of the future of the kingdom. And how do we build that kingdom around us? How do we contribute to its flourishing in the future? So we're sort of people who live in lots of different spaces, in the already, the not yet, and the recently past.
Can you give us a very short prayer in like about 30 seconds?
Bill, I can never be short, but I'll try. Yes. Dear Lord, we thank you for this time together. We thank you for our connections, for our communities. We ask you continue to be present with those who grieve, those who are alone, and those who are afraid. We ask you bless the hands of those who are healing, bless the hearts of those who are caring, bless the minds of those who make decisions for our welfare, and always lead us down the path you would have us follow. Amen.
Amen. Thank you very much, Father Robert. Take care, and we'll be in touch. Thank you, sir.
Thanks, Bill. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Father Robert Hendrickson, rector at St. Philip's in the Hills Episcopal Church. Wow, what a bright light this man is. What an asset he is for our community, and I'm just glad he's part of the Buckmaster Show, and we talk about faith and spirituality. That's going to be the midway point already. Boy, the hour goes fast, doesn't it? The noon hour here. Anyway, we continue with the 2020 Your Vote, Your Voice series, candidate series. Fernando Gonzalez waiting on the live line. We'll hear what his campaign is all about right after this. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Noble Hops in Oro Valley is now open to welcome guests for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Noble Hops menu items are available for you, your family, and friends. So check out Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and on the web at noblehopspub.com.
If it can't be grown, then it must be mined. Cause without minerals, you never find your phones, your cars, your solar panels, or your smart TVs with your favorite channels. Hospitals, schools, and public facilities result from mining's vast abilities. Dividends, taxes, and high-paid employment come from mining for your enjoyment. Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show Midweek Edition. This portion presented by our friends in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios, brought to us by Green Things. And they're, what, 50 years and still growing? Well, the 50th year has certainly been very interesting for Green Things. Many people are discovering Green Things in their backyard, and they want to make the backyard a prettier place. So what do? You head over to Green Things, 3384 East River Road, and there you will find 13 acres of amazing plants, trees, annuals, and a lot more. And, of course, they have the Zocalo Village with all the great Talavera pottery, antiques, fine art, handmade furniture, lighting, home accessories, and gifts. So the website, greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com. Stop by and say hello to my friends, the owners, Jan and Jack, who do such a great job over at Green Things. Time for our 2020 Your Vote, Your Voice candidate interview series. And we turn to the Pima County supervisorial race in District number 5. We spoke with two of the Democratic candidates Monday and Tuesday, and now today we'll hear from the Republican candidate Fernando Gonzalez in that race. Mr. Gonzalez, how are you, sir?
I'm doing pretty good, and thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to be on your program. Thank you.
Well, thank you. And tell us a little bit about why you decided to run. You have run for office before, correct?
Yes, about 8 years ago. So, let me just share a little bit about myself. I've lived in Tucson for approximately 50 years. And as you mentioned, I'm running for Board of Supervisors District 5. I'm a first-generation son of immigrants. I grew up working in the agricultural fields in Tucson and Marana and in California. So I've been married for 47 years, have two daughters and seven grandkids. A little bit about my background is I've worked for government, nonprofit, and private industry, and I'm currently retired after 20 years of owning my own business. So I come from a business, financial, and management background. I also believe in giving back to our community, not only donating to approximately 50 nonprofits, but also volunteering for approximately 40 years. I currently serve have served on several boards. Currently, I'm on Governor Doug Ducey's Arizona Complete Count for the census. I was a member of the Character and Fitness for the Arizona Supreme Court for 3 years, a member of the Board of Governors for the State Bar of Arizona for 6 years, and board member, Border Action Network, board member for Travelers Aid Society. I was a member of the Arizona Religious Advisory Council for 6 years. I volunteered at Pima County Adult Probation Department, Por Un Arizona Unido, the Salvation Army, Agua Prieta Christmas Project, Arizona Department of Corrections, and Catalina Mountain School for Boys. So
wow.
Right now...
I was going to say you've been very busy. Very
busy. For 40 years.
May I ask, what is your strong point as far as what would that strong suit be? What would you bring to the council, to the supervisors, excuse me, that is lacking right now, Fernando Gonzalez?
Yeah, you know, the issue is the main thing is right now with this pandemic is the economic recovery. You know, I've created jobs in my business, so I have a lot of business experience. I did run a successful business for about 20 years, so I have a lot of budgeting experience, financial money management, and I think what's needed right now is prioritizing of what are the needs and the wants of the Pima County. And so that's really important. In business, if you don't have a solid budget or a balanced budget, you won't be in business very long. I know Pima County is a nonprofit. It's run like a nonprofit, but in reality, there's a lot of good business principles that need to be applied. For example, balancing your budget, directing money that you have allocated for a particular project or to grow in your business. that needs to go there. So et cetera, et cetera. So I'm more of a businessman, not so much a politician, but I like to shoot straight from the hip. So,
did you know the late Richard Elias, Fernando?
Yes, I did. Well, actually, I'm glad you asked me about that, and my condolences to the Elias family. You know, me and Richard were friends. We weren't enemies. We were political rivals because we view things from a different perspective. And I have a picture with me and Richard Elias about 8 years ago when I ran. And it's a picture, you know, where they have the prize fighters with their fists up and facing each other.
Yeah.
It is an awesome picture, and I love it because, you know what, we both understood what our role was and the fact that we thought different, and we respected each other for that.
Yeah, and we all miss him. He certainly was a very important part of our community. So how are you shaping your campaign in this? Really, this is, I've been in the news business for over 50 years, and I've never seen a kind of an election cycle like this, Fernando Gonzalez. None of us really have. How do you shape a campaign like this when they're getting the word out about a campaign seems to be a low priority for a lot of people?
Yeah, you know, and that is true. And like I said, it's difficult because when I did hear about Richard's passing, I felt really sad. I had just filed my paperwork like 2 or 3 weeks before, and all of a sudden I get the news that he suddenly passed. So it was very I felt really sad when I heard the news. It really hurt again because he was a friend of mine. We didn't think alike, but we agreed to disagree agreeably. So that's what was good. And we made it a point that, you know what, we're not going to attack each other personally because it has nothing. Our personal lives have nothing to do with what's going on. It's the decisions that are being made. I think that was it. I have a good feeling about my relationship with Richard. Like I said, I didn't agree with him on a lot of stuff, but we agreed to disagree. So right now, you know, the campaign with this pandemic and so forth has been kind of tough. You know, they've kind of limited the meetings and the amount of people that could meet. It's terrible. I just went to a funeral and they only allowed 20 people at the funeral. So that's bad. So imagine trying to get the word out. Imagine trying to knock on doors and as we were doing in previous campaigns and talking with people. And that's no longer until something drastically happens. That's no longer the way to do things, but we are using social media a lot. We are trying to communicate with folks or using the different medias that we have in social media. So that's what we're going to try to do. And yes, we are going to have some meetings, and yes, we are going to do some walking, probably just to distribute some flyers, et cetera, et cetera.
Do you have a website that you would like to tell my listeners about?
Yes, it's www.votefernandogonzalez.org. I just appreciate you going to my website. It's got a lot of information, what my issues are. Obviously, the roads, economic development, you know, with this pandemic, public safety, the budget, taxes, etc. So that's what I wanna do, and I just wanna give a shout out to all my students. I actually was teaching ESL classes, financial management classes, and citizenship classes. Excuse me, my tongue got tongue tied there. To low income students, and so I wanna give a shout out to them. With this pandemic, we had to stop the ESL classes, but it's all I was doing, all volunteer type work. So
well, thank you.
I really enjoying working and giving back to my community.
Well, thank you for doing that. Fernando Gonzalez, thank you for being with us today. Thank you.
Oh, you're very welcome, and thank you very much for having me on your program.
Thank you. Fernando Gonzalez, Republican, running for the open seat in District number 5 on the Pima County Board of Supervisors. We've got 15 minutes to go. Still lots to talk about on the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. CEO of United Way, Tony Penn, is next.
Here at Bon Voyage Travel, we encourage you to keep the travel spark alive by exploring the world through our weekly webinar series that includes inspiration and insight from some of the top leaders in the travel industry. When you're ready to plan your next adventure, know that Bon Voyage Travel will be here to advise and assist. Join us every Wednesday at 3 p.m. for a new virtual destination discovery. While we're apart, let's keep dreaming together. Visit bvtravel.com for more information.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
The current Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. In preparation for developing a new 20-year plan, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to identify priority projects based on public input. RTA member jurisdictions will submit their respective project lists by June 2020 for the CAC to consider for a future plan. To learn more, visit www.rtanext.com.
Hello, I'm Danette Bewley, President and CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority, with news of our new effort to ensure air traveler safety and security going through our terminal. It's called TUS Cares, and you can read more about it on our website, flytucson.com. As you carefully weigh your decision to fly, I want you to know whether it's next week, next month, or next year, we are here for you at Tucson International Airport. Thank you.
Let's say you need an honest roofer. Where do you start? Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona has more than 3,200 accredited businesses ready to help and committed to doing things right. Next time you need a trusted mechanic, plumber, AC company, or florist, go to our website, bbb.org, or call us at 520-888-6161. Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona. We are here to help you find local companies you can trust.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops, craft beer, and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, our midweek edition in the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studio. We're on 1030 The Voice, your place in Southern Arizona for trusted local news and talk. This portion of our program presented by my friends over in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Those friends are ready to welcome you with open arms when you're ready to make the three-hour drive east of Tucson to a beautiful area and an area that's cooler than Tucson because of their elevation, usually about 10 degrees cooler. So it is a great early summer getaway. The best place to start your planning, Southwest New Mexico. Just spell that out, .org. There you'll find the complete listing of ideas of things to do, like hiking in the plenty of social distancing Gila National Wilderness, and some ideas on great places to stay. Let's go now on the live line to the CEO of United Way, and that's Tony Penn. Tony, how are you?
Doing great, Bill. How about you?
Doing real well. Thank you for asking. How about some good news? I remember back in the dark days of March, and I'll tell you, anybody that that's lived a long time like I have, and it's been a long time since I've seen a more depressing month than the month of March in 2020. And I know United Way kicked off a COVID-19 fund. Give us an update, Tony. How are we doing?
Well, thanks, Bill, and thanks to your listeners. And I appreciate the access and opportunity to share some good news. And certainly we're in a time, Bill, as you suggest, that good news is welcome. And one of the great things that I'd like to share with your audience is the fact that, yes, we did, as part of our response to this pandemic, launch the United for Southern Arizona COVID-19 Fund about 8 weeks ago now. And Bill, the great thing that has happened is that we had a goal of $500,000 that we wanted to raise, and we are there. We have raised that $500,000, but the best part is the fact that we've distributed right at 400,000 of that is now in the hands, Bill, of those who need it the most. Mm. And we're talking about some of the most vulnerable of the population. Just think about it. Some folks now are going into their third month of unemployment or being laid off in this service, predominantly service sector economy. But we, through 25 different partner agencies, have now been able to help with thousands of people with rent assistance, with access to food issues, with something even as simple as the ability to get diapers. If you think about that, Bill, that is really, really important when you don't have them.
Think about how the hard times, even raising $500,000 during this time with so many people are watching their budget. Kudos to United Way for stepping up. I'm telling you, trying to raise $500,000 in this time, that's really an accomplishment.
Well, that was already in the midst of, the normal fundraising that we do, and we raise in this community and with our partners and organizations we partner with nationally and donors we have nationally, Bill, on the average somewhere between $12 and $15 million annually. So we did not stop or put the mission on pause, but we did pivot to this crisis. And I'm happy to say, Bill, that because of that response and the response of a generous community who responded with those additional funds and resources, we've been able now to make an impact and help a lot of kids, families, and seniors across Tucson and Southern Arizona.
We're speaking with Tony Penn, the CEO of the United Way of Tucson, and Mr. Penn penned a op-ed piece in yesterday's Arizona Daily Star, and as one of the leaders of our African-American community, you were writing, and the headline is, "When Will Enough Be Enough?" Tony, what was the bottom line of your piece?
Here's the bottom line, United Way and I believe that every person is entitled to be treated with dignity and respect and equal treatment and access to justice, Bill. It even says in our Constitution, Bill, that we are equal under the law. And so we just believe that we've seen enough. Certainly I have, Bill, and it's time for us to face that reality. But when you think about it, it also is something that we've been fighting for a long time. Your United Way has been working on the ground in Tucson and Southern Arizona for 98 years.
Bill. Wow. I did not know that, Tony.
Yes.
Wow.
We are a 98-year-old institution here on the ground. We came with the missions.
Whoa.
Okay. The policies and practices of institutional racism that continue to impact people of color, including African Americans, Hispanics, Native Americans, and others, by limiting access to health care, housing, education, and employment
must come to an end. But those are the things that we've been fighting as part of our mission and work of the United Way for a long time.
As you write, this is the line from your op-ed, as an African-American man who swore an oath of allegiance and proudly wore the uniform in service to this nation, I wonder when enough will be enough.
And Bill, thanks for quoting that line back, because if it came to being able to defend this nation again, I'd put it on again, Bill. Because I'm a patriot and I love this country. It's the only place that I know. My family, I can trace back here and to the early 1800s. And so, Bill, multi-generation Americans, and certainly I'm proud of that fact. However, we can do better. We can.
Yeah, and you also point out that you are a man of faith and a member of the clergy. I did not know that about you, Tony. A little bit about that, please.
Well, I am a church-ordained, seminary-trained pastor. And, Bill, I serve gladly at Grace Temple Baptist Church here. I'll give them a plug. Mm-hmm. Right here at 31st and Park is where it's that faith community resides, and my wife and I choose to serve in that community specifically, Bill, so that we can be a representative of the fact that that by faith people can overcome any challenge.
You know, you and I have seen a lot, you know, and this, what we've seen is kind of reminiscent of the 60s and 68. And how have things changed? Have they changed significantly, Tony Penn, for the better?
I would say that things have changed moderately, Bill. But one thing that has not changed is the propensity for violence and violence to be a remedy versus really being able to de-escalate. And so certainly I would say that as not only a man of faith, but also a father of two great sons who've blessed my wife and I with beautiful grandchildren, Bill, that I fear for them. Because of the fact that we cannot seem to get past violence being used without due process and justice.
Yeah, I would agree with that, and you're right. You know, I think I would gauge that as well. That I would categorize moderate progress from the '60s. There is so much more work to be done, Tony Penn, and I want to thank you and what you're doing for the community with United Way. Where can people find out more, Tony?
Please, I would welcome your audience, and we welcome their engagement. We welcome their participation. We welcome their gifts and contributions at our website. And if they would go to UnitedWayTucson.org, then they'll find just a lot of information about the impact that their United Way is making here. And certainly I want to say that our organization is very blessed and very fortunate that we do live in a community that is very generous, very giving, and overall compassionate, Bill. And that's reflected in the fact that last year we touched the lives of more than 170,000 plus.
Wow.
Kids, families, and seniors in Southern Arizona.
Keep it up. Tony, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks. Tony Penn, CEO of United Way. That's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show. I'm Bill Buckmaster. On behalf of John Couch, engineering and producing, both of us hope you have a very nice afternoon.